the YouTube. So, yeah, the new format kind of going forward, we'll have a 40 minutes and there'll be a permanent link. It'll be on the website. You can get to the website through spontaneousdevotion.net.
Okay.
And that link will be there. The meeting ID will be there. The password will be there. It'll always be the same. Also, there is a way now on spontaneousdevotion.net, which, by the way, takes you to the website. I set up a web form so that either you can ask a question or you can, you whatever you want to do. There's a way to communicate now with us. If you want to be added to the email list, whatever you want to do in that way, you can put your email in that, or you can submit a question, because there have been people who on WhatsApp have submitted questions or said, I'm kind of shy to ask a question, and say, okay, well, now you can submit a question on this, and we don't have to know who you are, and we can read those questions at the beginning and discuss. And so it sounds like, you know, just for the listeners at home, we had been discussing on whether we were going to continue to move forward with this Tuesday talk, if people were actually finding benefit in it. And from the emails and the phone calls that were received, it seems there is a benefit in it, and we are going to continue it. It's only going to be 40 minutes. And again, everyone is welcome to join, because that was another thing, was, is this a group that you have to, you know, be initiated in or something? No, anybody can join this group. And then, of course, you're free to listen to the YouTube. As I was told, many people who don't join us, but they do enjoy listening to the YouTube on a routine basis.
So, okay, so you're not going to need a separate email to people with, because what I have is a list is around 50 people who get the notice, and then not all those people want the recording. So, because I record it to the cloud, and then I get this email from Zoom, and then I send it out to everybody. But the people on that mailing list, there's only maybe 30 that actually want the recording. But it sounds like people will just be able to go to the Google thing and get the, that you won't have to send out a separate email.
Yeah, it'll be, well, the link to download it, I can either send in an email or I can put that on the website too. That, and maybe I'll do that. I'll put that on the website. You can watch the YouTube video, of course, but you can also go then to Google Drive and download it. It'll be recorded locally, because that's what the free service allows.
Right.
And again, free service, I think, is better. So nobody is getting the charges or whatever. It was very, we definitely appreciate Kathleen having done it for years now.
I had help with from Trish.
She was good.
Helping me with the number.
Good. Yeah, and it's been like, you know, we're coming up March 28th, it looked like, was our anniversary of 4 years we've been doing these Tuesday talks.
So, I know, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yes, yes.
And if people know where to look for it, you know, they can go and back and archive and pick out anything they want.
What was the date? Do you know the date that we started?
Yes, I do. I can look that on the website here.
I'd be interested to...
It is, because it says on the website, the Tuesday talk began March 28th, 2017.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So yeah, we're coming up on our 4 year anniversary. But this should be good, because that way it's not so long. Like we were speaking about when we first started, these talks were like an hour and 40 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes. It was like long. And and even people on YouTube were like, you know, it's nice, but I can't sit there like a movie and watch you guys. So, and that's good. You know, now it'll be 40 minutes. I'll record it locally, put it up in the cloud if you care to download it, or it'll be available on the YouTube channel, which the YouTube is available right from that spontaneousdevotion.net, which will take you to The URL you'll see is RamakantMaharajDakshina.net, but it's probably easier just to remember SpontaneousDevotion.net and get there. And from that webpage, you can join us. You can send in a question. You can download the videos. And you can go to our YouTube channel.
And when do the questions get answered? Do you send a private response to people? Or
No. I think it'd be good to answer them right here. With
same
everyone.
Way we're doing it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the way we're doing it, the same pattern we have all the time.
Exactly. But this will be, they'll write in and we'll be able to read, because it'll come to the email and then it will say, okay, these are some questions that people have asked, and we'll have a little question and discussion. So, of course, the answer is you're formless. And as soon as you understand your formless nature, there will be no question. But while you're believing yourself to be a body that you are not, experiencing a world that isn't true, you may have a question.
You might get some.
So I have a question. Would this be a valid terminology? Self nature equals selfless nature, as a concept?
Well, self nature, they call it a swarupa, your true nature. And your true nature is formlessness, and not the concept of formlessness, but formlessness.
So it's selfless in that sense. That it's
formless. Well, selfless self is self without self. And that's the just I, with no mind, no mentation, no mind-created concepts of who I am. Right. Just this sense of existence, this subtle sense of presence, without any layers.
Because, you know, some teachers will say, you're enlightened already, which to me means everything is like selfless sharing, and everything's selfless, everything's sharing, and that can't be avoided. You know, it is the case, kind of. That's the way I see it. And so in that sense, but we're not always aware that we're sharing and that we are all one, and so we feel like we're not, you know.
Well, Ramakant Maharaj says you're already realized, you're just not paying attention to the realized state, you're paying attention to the illusion. And once you stop joining the illusion and flowing along with it, because you no longer have the concept of being a body in a world, then you'll pay attention to the realized state. Just I, the subtle sense of presence on which this entire world is appearing. And once you know this, then you'll know that the appearance is illusion and the reality is your own selfless self. As Maharaj says, accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master.
So even that presence, that bliss, is an appearance too in the final reality, right?
Correct. It came along with the body. The sensation that I exist came along with the body, because the body created the sense of duality. I exist. I know my existence in this body form, just as the ant knows its existence in that body form and suddenly says, I have to protect this body because this is now I know I exist.
And the gradually, it seems to me, it's kind of a little bit like riding a bike. The awareness, I guess, maybe when the conviction, what you call conviction, hits, that's when it becomes second nature or something. Like,
well, it's like riding a bike in E.T. You know how the kid, he was riding the bike and then suddenly it just elevated and started flying through the sky. Well, that's like riding the bike, because it's a spontaneous, oh, so that I am that. Because of meditation, because I've sat and I've remained with my selfless self. I'm no longer getting lost in the illusory world, because I know it's illusion. So I spend time with my own self, the just I, the subtle sense of presence, and I just remain No experience, no experiencer.
And then the devotion actually becomes kind of almost automatic, or I mean, it's there. You just can't. You want it, because rather than any kind of effort, it's just. I suppose it would be something like that.
Devotion is to bow down to your own selfless self through the object. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Oh, sorry. Devotion is just to bow down to your own selfless self through the concept or the object of your devotion, which you're actually devoting to your own selfless self. When you bow down to the master, you're bowing down to your own selfless self. Maharaj says this, don't bow to me, bow to your own selfless self. You're not bowing to me. And bowing is good because it alleviates the ego. If there's an ego there that says, I'm not bowing down to any masters, then obviously there's an I am somebody who feels that I should not be bowing down. Well, this I that's bowing down is bowing down to that I that you are.
Yeah, and that's because you see yourself, at that point you see yourself in everything, or it's possible to see yourself in everything, and that you're, you know, that's all
you are everything. Right. And the seer disappears, there's just seeing. And there's no objectifying in the seeing, there's just seeing. There's no specific seer where you can say, I am seeing from this point. There's just seeing. No objectification of the seer or the seen, just pure seeing. Scenes that appear and disappear, and you are, you remain. Where all experience ends, there you are. Maharaj says this.
There was I shouldn't bring this up to you. There's a movie about this. It has Adam Ant in it, and one of the main lines in the movie was, wherever you go, there you are.
Because only if you identify with a body can you go anywhere. That's why Maharaj says going to all these various masters is a pointless exercise of dragging the body around from A, B, C, D, because you're formless. But if you're going to see different masters, then obviously you're identified with a body form, going to see another body form, because you can see the master right now, right here, just by dissolving this concept that I am separate. Then there is no separation, which is the reality when you're not using the mind to identify with a body and objectifying the world around you. And I'm sorry, Elizabeth, were you going to say something?
I said the Christians would say, pray without ceasing. So you're always in awareness that it's always meditation. You're not out of meditation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you get my email, by the way?
Yes, I did. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, good, that's good. All right.
Jai Guru.
All right.
The praying without ceasing is just like like Maharaj says, remain with your selfless self. Be with you always. And we've talked about before. Always. Right. Is always. It's not like being with you except at work, or being with you except at home with your spouse or with your dog walking or whatever you may be doing. No, always, in all ways, be with your own selfless self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the only way not to be with your selfless self is through the concept of duality and the creation of I am somebody else. Otherwise, you can't separate you from everything else, because everything is you. And this is why the dream is such a wonderful way to kind of allow the mind to conceptualize enough that it'll release this concept. Because in a dream, this body is laying down in sleep. Boom, a dream world is projected. Why? Because I'm sleeping and there's a sensation I exist. Through this sensation I exist, I create a body form in this dream in which to experience a dream world. And I populate it with all the characters, and I put the sun or the moon or river or people walking their dogs, and it's all my own self. And I know this because when I wake up, no matter what was going on inside the dream, I absolutely know it arose out of my own self. To whom else could it have arisen? No one. And I needed to create a dream body in order to see this dream world and participate in this dream world. Everything that was done in the dream is absolutely illusion, because like we said, if I become a rock star in my dream and I've got a limo and a big mansion and I wake up and there's my car out front and where's my limo? It's illusion. It seemed real at the time. Just like this waking state seems real at the time. Because again, there's this sensation I exist and a body is created in the dream world, or the waking dream, to see other bodies that are moving around. But it's exactly the same. There's one consciousness that's creating both the dream world and the waking world. The only separation is I am dreaming, I am awake. But you're an object within the dream for the perception only, to be able to see inside the dream, because you're formless. You don't have eyes.
So it's not me as a body that the dream is coming out of, but it's me as everything.
As presence. The same as when you're laying down at sleep. How can it be you as body in which this dream world has arisen? How? The body is a lump of goo. And is absolutely, as Maharaj says, when the presence leaves the body, we burn or bury it. It has no value whatsoever unless the presence is here. And then the presence clicks and, oh, look, there's a waking world. Now the body is laying down, presence clicks. Oh, there's a dream world. Both are created formlessly. Both have forms within the formless, or the unmanifest manifests and then moves around and acts and imagines a world, which is not true, but because you're having this identification with being an object within the dream, you see other objects. Mm-hmm. Now, where's birth and death?
Well, as long as you're in a body, you do see objects, right?
Well, again, where's birth and death? In the dream tonight, if all the people in your dream die, where's birth and death? In the waking world, if you're identified with an object to see the waking dream and that object is no longer there, well, but where's the birth and death? Because you're not the body. You're the presence in which this all is occurring. So if this body falls, it's like a dream character falls. And who's dying? And who's being born? It's formless presence, the unmanifest, manifesting, playing for a time, and returning to the unmanifest. As Maharaj would say, something appears in the nothing and goes back to nothing. And the something is, look at this world. But it's entirely illusion, because you are formless now. You were formless prior to birth, this concept. You're formless after this concept of dying. And to you is appearing birth, this life, and dying. All of these are appearing on spontaneous presence.
So in that sense, you could say there is no objects, there is only everything?
There is only formless presence.
Formless presence.
And that's why meditation is so important, because you remain with your selfless self. You remain with this subtle sense of presence and want nothing more. And just be there and know, so that I am that, and everything else is just illusion. Mm-hmm. You're able to know yourself in a real sense instead of knowing yourself as a body form. Then you discard this concept of being a body And if you need mantra, then you mantra to erase the illusory concept slowly, silently, permanently, until you have a silent mind and the reflection of presence in a silent mind. You're just reflecting your selfless self. And that's selfless self-intoxication, intense selfless self-intoxication. You don't go chasing the illusory world. You know, the little trinkets that dance before your eyes, they're just illusion. They don't mean anything.
Yeah, I just mentioned, I thought last week we covered a lot of good ground. If anybody, I would rec, you know, I haven't gone back to listen to it again yet, but I definitely plan on. I mean, they're all good talks. You get, it's sort of the same thing, but that one just seemed to be cover a lot. I don't know if anybody else had that thought at all.
I honestly don't really watch our talks so much.
Yeah, I don't either, but occasionally I do.
I thought it was a great talk last week too. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't go back to listen to it yet, but yeah. it was really powerful.
I mentioned that in case anybody missed it.
Mommy, what happened to your hair?
Yeah.
Summer has started here.
you went crazy with the razor?
No. So there is a salon nearby.
You look like a Buddha now.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Then I'll rename my name as Buddha.
There you go. In India, did you get like the face massage and all that? Because I remember when I would go and get my haircut in India, they do such a nice face massage and they use this like little thing on your head and it's just, oh, so amazing. I enjoyed it very, very much.
Yeah, it is available, but like around $2 extra.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. Maharaj says I was getting ripped off because I gave them 100 rupees for my haircut and to shave my face. And to me, 100 rupees was like, I think it was like $15 or whatever.
But no, $1.5.
How much?
One and a half.
$1.5. Yeah. Okay, so $1.50 to get this absolutely amazing haircut that would have been like $200 in the United States, where they do the massage on your face and it's like zzz, and all that. I was like, oh my god, it's like spa treatment. It was awesome. So
generally I don't opt for that, but once or twice in a while, like in years. So
yeah, it was wonderful. I remember that.
Actually, I don't want to come back for the discussion, but I just would like to know, I can watch this video again, but I hope the sessions will continue, will they?
Yes. Yeah, we talked in the beginning that we're going to continue. It'll be the free version, so we'll only have 40 minutes, which is good. We'll have it downloaded on the machine. I'll upload it up to Google Drive so that you can download it if you like. It's also available on the YouTube channel and the website spontaneousdevotion.net. which is actually taking you to ramakantmaharajdakshina.net, but that's a long URL. So spontaneousdevotion.net. And there's now a little form on the homepage that you can submit a question. Or if you want to be on the mailing list, you can send your email and we'll put you on this mailing list too. We won't be sending out as much of the links because it'll be the same length, same meeting ID, same password every week.
So you can avoid the repeated work?
Yes. You just have it. And yes, your phone call today and speaking about other people who listen to the YouTubes and different people who were emailing and saying, let's not stop these talks. There is definitely a desire to continue them. So we're going to continue. And as I told you, as long as there's one seeker who's desiring this satsang or this forum, Maharaj gave the spiritual duty, and here we will be.
Thank you.
Jai Sadhguru.
Thank you.
Yes.
Some of the like Maharaj talked about the angry tenets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still sifting through those, you know, and I have a lot more moments of clarity, and that's I think due to a lot of meditation and stuff being just undone internally, like dismantling the mind-made delusion. Yet still there could be those flashes where it's like I'm almost not there as strongly, or it feels like, you know, that I am identifying in that moment. If it pulls in like my body, like a hook. And so it's kind of like, I'm getting through I feel like I'm getting to the root of it finally, but it still can be hard to not give it to anger or different things that seem so convincing in the moment. And it's like, I don't know if that's a question or what. It's just been my experience lately. And then I'll have that gift sometimes where it's like, I can just like consciously choose to just let it go and it goes. It's just, I think it's some of these bigger, noisier tenets that they're like, I'm not budging, like this, you know, this, we're going to die. Like, you know, this type of stuff. And which is the truth. I mean, I have like right now clarity that it's not real, that there's just my selfless self. And yeah, this is just happening in me, as me, through me, and not the Jordan me. So again, I don't know if that's a question, but it I know I'm not losing it, but it feels like when I come back, like very clearly that I was gone for a bit, or like these, you know, like kind of the delusion was running the show.
Yeah, in those moments, it's good to just go right back to the selfless self and don't try to restrain. Because when I was in India, there were several times where I came across these tenants as they were leaving the body. They were really, you know, and another devotee had talked about it like a cork, and it just explodes out of nowhere. And from talking to Maharaj about these things, it's just, okay, allow it. Allow it to do what it's going to do and know it's illusion. Even though you're getting a little bit lost in the anger or whatever, allow these feelings to flow, but remain with your selfless self. In the background is your selfless self. And as soon as you can remain with yourself or reacquire yourself, then that's it. And it's okay. If you're, I spoke about the gold jewelry store. I went into this jewelry store and the jewelry was not very expensive. And I looked at it, and even though I'd been in the ashram a couple of, you know, it was really selfless self and taking mantra, it welled up in me. My God, I want this jewelry. Look at all this jewelry. And it was inexpensive. Like I thought to myself, wow, you know, I can get like a really nice gold bracelet or a really nice gold necklace for very little money. And then I kind of sat with Tata actually, and we had some chai, And I was kind of, you know, agitated. And so I went back with Maharaj and I said, Maharaj, what was that? Like, it was like this something in me just said, you know what? Okay, we're going to be spiritual, but I want to be decked out in gold. And Maharaj was like, you know, we talked about that. And I remained with mantra. The beautiful thing was then, in the last week, another devotee went with me to that store and with Tata. And this time, nothing. There was nothing. There was no like big urge. He was having an enjoyable time shopping for his girlfriend and everything. But I was just sitting, sipping chai with Tata as if we were outside looking at a river. Nothing was making any kind of rumblings of any kind because it was allowed to go. The other time was Maharaj, and thank God Maharaj was so calm because I exploded again for no reason. And you feel silly exploding, but it's just like, it's for me, it was the food. And I said, oh my God, I cannot eat this again. And then there's a gecko that's crawling on my wall and it's cold in the morning and this and that. And Maharaj says, if this is not suitable, we can move you to another room. Like very calm. And it subsided. And so there's no personalization or saying it shouldn't be this way. It was allowed to go. It was spoken about. And then returned quickly. And mantra helps with this because mantra will help focus the mind and also your breathing. If you're breathing in slower, now that you're identified with a body, you breathe in slower, it slows the thoughts. Mantra then erases these thoughts and you're back to calm. Because the truth is the background is complete and total calm, nothingness. And so if these waves arise, okay, it's when you make a big deal about them and say, wow. And there are some devotees who in the past have said, I got to stop doing this mantra because maybe it's bothering my sleep or it's making me cranky or I find that I'm more angry with my spouse or I'm not as good at work or some such thing. But remain. These tenants, as they're leaving the house, as Maharaj says, they're going to abuse you because they've been sitting here long time, deeply rooted, enjoying just kind of the free ride. And now you're saying, oh, no, no, yeah, gotta go.
Yeah, now I have the power.
And you don't fight with them because if you fight with them, you're giving them attention. Your attention, which is all there is, and your imagination that it's a problem, which again is all there is. So you're creating in your experience the seeming problem where there is none. You just remain with yourself.
John, I have been continuing the Na Mantra from last 4 weeks. So it's really good to speak honestly after a long time. Good in the sense, now I'm realizing not just the sensitive mind, you know, to deal with ego, right? That's why I feel it requires more than a mind which is having a lot of common sense, you know, like a devotion, like a pure, undivided attention. So this could be delivered with easily, you know, with the meditation, with the mantra, than, you know, with a great intellect or very sharp mind. God is giving some strength to do the Naam mantra. So thanks for reminding again and again about the meditation. You have been telling from long time, Maharaj is telling. So even though this practice, mantra practice, was done occasionally, but it was not continuous. Somehow, one way or other, used to distract. But now, so that conviction is there, you know, mantra is a virtue. But that is, to speak honestly, that is helping immensely. Even though our difficulties are there. Thank you. So, you know, this, even though it looks repetitive, right, many of the words here, right, one, somehow, you know, it was the same thing, you know, maybe in the last week, sometime back, spoken, but somehow it clicks in that very moment. So that happened.
Good. Yeah, Maharaj says, all talk is from selfless self, all talk is directed to selfless self, and the listener and speaker are one and the same. And there's recognition in the projection, this silent, still presence, which is what's being conveyed. The words, they're nice because we're all human beings, so we're listening to these words and we're saying, okay, I'm understanding these words. But it's the underlying kind of conveyance, presence to presence. Oh, so that I am that. That undercurrent of selfless self, the recognition and the projection, the listener and speaker are one and the same. This is the reality. And the more that I understand that the conviction is this is the reality, the more I start living the reality. And that's where, as Maharaj says, the fun starts. As I begin living as the selfless self, not worrying about things because I know they're not true, remaining with myself, even though the outside world may be screaming for some sort of illusory attention, I begin to live this experience. As Maharaj says, this is practical spirituality. We are not sitting here studying and philosophizing and all this sort of stuff. The understanding comes and we live the reality. Oh, so that I am that. Something's happening, but it's not happening. My mind, I'm observing, these thoughts are racing off to say, uh-oh, we are in trouble. Well, who's this we that's in trouble? I'm formless. Let's say instead of identifying with this body, I was that body. Oh, I'm both bodies. I'm the body of the one that seems to be bothering this body that I believe I am. But I'm neither and I'm both. I'm nothing. I'm neither of these bodies. All these bodies and all this activity is occurring within my own selfless self. So to get riled up about that is very silly. So I can laugh at myself. I almost got caught up. Now I remain with my selfless self. Or if I do get angry, okay, I got angry. I remain with my selfless self. The other thing is too, like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, harm no one. And if you do get angry and you scream at somebody, it's important, now that you've taken the identification of a body form, screaming at another body, when you've calmed down, hey, you know what? I was wrong to scream at you. I'm sorry. Because if you don't, then that mind will start bothering you of A, this spirituality is not working. B, look at how spiritual you are. You just screamed at this person. And all of this sort of nonsense. But say very quickly, okay, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. And then your mind is at ease. It's quiet. Then you go back to your own selfless self. Knowing that these thoughts are appearing on your presence.
So you are saying acknowledge it, but don't resist it.
Don't accept it. Acknowledge. Like if something happens, I did something, I get very angry. Like with Maharaj even. when I blew up and I said, oh, and the gecko and this and that, and he said, okay, we can move you to a different room. I said, oh, Maharaj, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to scream. I don't know what. He says, no, it's no problem. Everything is good. Let's go to Bhajan and enjoy ourselves. Okay, let's go. And it's forgotten. Because see, otherwise, if it's not like, oh, Maharaj, I'm sorry, I go to Bhajan's angry. And then my mind will look at every little solitary thing because I've already taken the touch of illusion now. So now it's my mind's job, so to speak, to keep me deep in illusion by looking for things to complain about and then trying to remember other things that there are to complain about. So I've become agitated and I'm deeply in the illusion, lost. Rather than remain with my selfless self, allow these things to come and go. There was one scene where I blew up. There's another scene where I'm happy. I'm playing the cymbals and singing bhajan.
But then how do you know what to do about what is seems to be causing a problem?
Spontaneous action in the moment without an actor. No expectations of any kind. It arose. And now it's finished.
Which might be no action at all.
Well, you'll know because if you take the touch of the illusory world, as we all have, then the mind is going, see, the mind's game is illusion because that's all it knows. Mind came along with the body. All the experiences, all the memories are recorded in mind as my experiences, my mind, my thoughts. So if I've taken the touch, then I need to escape quickly into my own selfless self out of illusion. If I maintain the illusion because, you know what, Keith really upset me and that was just wrong. Or I blew up at Keith. You know what, I'm not going to say I'm sorry to this guy. Forget about it. Well, mind, these thoughts are going to flow. Oh, you know, you're so spiritual and this. That's the main thing is that if I get caught in the spiritual trap of I'm not behaving spiritually or my spirituality must not be good because I'm getting angry or I'm getting upset. No. Thoughts are flowing. I remain with my selfless self.
And the other will maybe, you know, say you're trying to help somebody else be spiritual because you're spiritual and you see that maybe they're not as spirits. Being spiritual, or they're you know, doing activities that are.
I got to cut you off there because if you're looking at yourself as spiritual and someone else is not as spiritual, you're deeply in the illusion. And the best way is to say that someone else that appears not to be spiritual is my own selfless self. And I don't have to think about the other because there is no other. I remain with my selfless self. And if I'm trying to get them to be spiritual, then I definitely have the concept that there are others. And I definitely have the concept that I seemingly have more knowledge than someone else. Well, you're an illusory character just like they are. Think about the dream. If at all you want to compare yourself to sky or space, and with inside the dream, if you were a dream character, would you tell the other dream character, man, your actions are not very spiritual? Well, those actions are coming from you. There are no others. You're formless. Just like the space in this kitchen. If there's an argument in the kitchen, the space is not affected, nor is the space taking sides and saying, you know what, John's argument is much better than Keith's. No, because you're space. Space, sky, formless presence. No I, no you, no he, no she, no it, nothing. There's no one other than your own selfless self. Accept your selfless self. No God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master, nothing's there. To whom are you trying to value or to space? Two objects are exactly the same. And you can remember, we talked about this. This is a nice exercise for mind a little bit, is if I'm sitting there trying to think that somebody else isn't spiritual or they're irritating me, think in your mind that the presence is removed, it's a lump of goo. This is what I'm battling, this lump of goo. Now think if the presence is removed from this body. Now this lump of goo. So it's the formless presence that's in both these bodies, one and the same, animating. And if presence was removed from either one, it's just a lump of goo. Think of how silly it would be if you sat there with a dead body and told them that they're not behaving spiritual or that you know more than they do, because that's the reality.
What about the person that needs help to manage their lives because they're not managing their lives?
Well, who's to say they're not managing their lives? You're not managing your life either. It's just a concept that I am managing my life. Selfless self, presence, spontaneous action in the moment without a doer. The body's going to go through what it goes through. If you dream tonight about a homeless man in the park, was he not successful? What path do you have him on? He's your own self.
So you're saying those are like dream figures that aren't
correct. It's the same. One consciousness, waking and dreaming. The only separation is I am awake or I am dreaming. And that you need to identify with a body that is awake or asleep. But that which never sleeps, nor is awake, nor is conscious, nor is unconscious, is your own selfless self. Completely without any attributes. Anytime that you sit there and you try to add attributes onto yourself, no, it's just illusion. And mantra will slowly, silently, and permanently erase this concept of attribute.
John?
Yes.
This question might be a personal. The question is, before this journey started, maybe a few years ago or a decade ago, at one point of time, the devotion had hit you, right? So how, your mind, see, you come from West world, where, generally reasoning or everything has to be experienced, then only has to believe. One has to believe. So you come from that kind of world, then how did you, where this thing is clicked, devotion, endless devotion to the guru, to the self. So this, so to the self, I think, in the spiritual journey, that must have happened. But before coming to the Maharaj, so where this, how did this devotion arise for you?
Well, again, I said, 10 years and 8 months ago, I came into a program for alcoholism. I was beaten down completely. I had no answers for the first time in my life. I had no answers for anything. I was completely beaten. And I started working the program in this program. And part of this was they look and they do a moral inventory, basically. And something inside me woke up and said, man, this thing that I have become, it's not me. I don't want to be this. And in that moment, it was just a feeling that I don't want to be this. And after talking this out and going through the program, I started to feel this subtle sense of presence. I was very blessed too, because before coming into this program, my right and wrong was whatever I felt like doing was right. If I got caught, it was wrong, but I just had to make up some excuses and I would get out of whatever I was doing. But now I had this subtle sense of presence, which in this program, I identified as a power greater than myself, or God as I understood God. So all my prayers were to this presence. I didn't feel it like super strong, but just very subtle. I talk about the size of a quarter in the beginning. And I tried to just go with that being with that presence. And when I would start to do wrong actions, I would not sense that presence as strongly. So it was like a rudder that moved my life very beautifully back into line. So if I got too far out of line, I didn't feel the presence. Okay, I want to go back in line. And in this program, I was told that when I do something wrong, I promptly admit it. I start doing all these various things. I start to meditate because I'm told by someone. I started listening to Kelly Howell, meditation, and I was very much into it because, again, this meditation allowed me to be quiet with the presence, which was my understanding of God. Now, for several years, I also was kind of a follower of Muji on Facebook and on YouTube, and I would listen to Muji, and he was talking about the I am and this and that and all this. So I started listening to this, and again, in devotion, here in America, in February, he would have satsangs in India, and I would stay up until, or, you know, wake up at like 3 a.m. until like 6 a.m, basically, listening to these satsangs religiously, because this presence was coming. I didn't associate the presence with Muji at the time, because Muji always spoke about the presence in a dualistic format. He never spoke about the presence as that you are type thing. He would talk about the I am or the presence, and I was experiencing this presence. So then the more that I would continue to experience this presence, Ramakant Maharaj came up, which at the time I thought was actually Ramakant Maharaj, but it turned out to be the lady that wrote self or that edited, so Anne Shaw and her husband passed.
Charles,
yes. So it turned out to be them, but I was Facebook friends with them. Then that led to Skyping. My first Skype with Maharaj, the presence was so strong. I was like, wow, this is that presence in form. And so I talked to Maharaj. I attended a few of the 10 o'clock, and then it was spontaneous in the moment. Maharaj says, so when are you coming to India? And I said, August. And I had no plans to come to India. I had no passport. I had no ticket. However, Selfless Self, by that, and Maharaj moving in this way, I wound up, I went to my boss and I said, boss, I'm going to India for a month in August. He said, oh, August is a perfect time, because we're very slow. So we won't miss, you won't be backed up on your work. It's a good time. So then I walked to go and get my passport taken. Beautiful thing too. I was listening to Bhajan and reading Selfless Self every day on the train back and forth to work. One day I walked straight to the mailbox without even thinking and picked up my passport, which was in the mailbox. I opened it. I say, oh, look, this is my passport. I'm going to go see Maharaj. I bought the things that I needed to buy and packed. And as I was in Dulles Airport, as you know, because I wrote spontaneousdevotion.net, it will give the journal of this journey. And while I was in Dulles Airport, I said, I am going to India to meet God. This presence as I understand God. And I am going to be able to thank this presence for having amazingly changed my life. And I'm going to be able to surrender whatever is left of me to this presence at the presence feet in the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj. So that may sound like off the rails, but the reality was I knew I was going to India to meet God, to lay at God's feet and say, thank you. And whatever there is left of me, please take it. Because I want there to be no separation between me and this presence. And Maharaj, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Because the presence was felt, if I'm not body, so that I am that. Maharaj laid his hand on my head and spoke the mantra of which, again, it was as if God himself had said, you want to be free of this concept of John? This mantra will erase that concept, and you will finally be one with your selfless self. You are now, but you still have these concepts. And so that was it. And then the ashram became like a little mini world. You know, I would go, and sometimes the cold shower, or hot shower, or very little water, but mantra. Because selfless self was creating in my experience, Maharaj, the master, said, remain with your selfless self. I don't care if your room's on fire. You remain with your selfless self, and then observe yourself leaving the room that's on fire. You are not to take the touch that the room is on fire. You're not to take the touch that it's hot water or cold water. You're not to take the touch, and now selfless self is cranking up the heat. We're going to allow you to have food poisoning. And even better than the food poisoning, because I had the Red Rocks beads on, which I read about, and I even had like the 17 Muki and all this, 5 Muki and 14 Muki, which I spent a fortune on actually, but it was supposed to amplify the presence. And so when I had the mantra, I took this off, and suddenly the food poisoning came. Now at this point, I could have put these mala beads back on and trusted them more than the master. But instead I went to Maharaj and I said, Maharaj, I know if I put these beads on, it's over, because I'll constantly be tied as these beads are helping me. When you said, I need no support. So whatever is happening, let it happen. And I wound up going to the India hospital and mantra. So I had no experience, no experiencer with the IV, with Maharaj leaving and Maharaj coming back, and then taking me back to the ashram. So this is my spiritual journey in a little short thing. And the reality is, none of that is true. It was only true while I believed myself to be someone on a spiritual path or a spiritual journey. But all of this was occurring within my selfless self. And I had complete faith and trust in the master. You know, while I was listening to Muji, I saw people were getting their heads shaved and having like the fire ceremony and everything. And I was very well prepared, even with my long hair and my beard and all that, that Maharaj says, you know what? We're going to shave your head and we're going to paint on your forehead for everyone to see that you've converted or whatever. I would have said, yes, my master, do as you wish. Because it was complete. I met Maharaj before I met Maharaj. And then the meeting of Maharaj, the understanding was there that this is presence. This concept of a power greater than myself is now manifesting before me so that I may thank and I may surrender. And I can only thank and surrender with the last bit of vestiges of I am somebody else. Oh, it's 8:18.
Thank you.
Guys, good.
Thank you, John.
Have a good week, everyone. Thank you, John. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay.